void of space. It never ends. It never will. And yet, here you are, drifting through the nothing. Will you float, or will you sink? To the place where the mind melts and the body dies. Below the surface of reality. Here, the only thing you know is you and the stories you carry. Welcome to the Cryopod Tapes.
The Stars Were Wrong by Raz T. Slasher. When I was young, I spent a few years of my life volunteering for a local natural science museum. I worked my way up from general volunteer to reptile handler and eventually to the chemistry department, doing all sorts of amazing experiments and live shows geared towards children. When I wasn't busy running around teaching various things to the kids and cleaning up after them, I spent a lot of time hanging out with my friend, Louis, in the planetarium. Louis was a weird guy. I know that weird is a general term these days, but I'm talking this guy spent most of his time trying to somehow become Robert Smith from The Cure, doing hallucinogens and creating the strangest things I have ever seen in the confines of the planetarium. While he was into astronomy more than anyone I've ever known, he took it to lengths that I can still not fathom to this day. It was a pretty common thing to sneak into the planetarium when it wasn't running a show, and heading up the short flight of stairs to the little catwalk where Louis would undoubtedly be slaving away at the master computer. I'd always sneak up on him and scare the shit out of him because that's just the kind of kid I was back then. He'd jump a few feet off his chair every time and glare at me for a moment before we both break into raucous laughter. It always ended with me pulling up a chair and him showing me his newest creation. Everything Louis did was fucking amazing, to be honest. He did more than just your basic shows on astronomy and the Pink Floyd laser light shows. He would create these strange combinations of both that would somehow incorporate parts of space I'd never even heard of before, along with, of course, music by The Cure. I never fully understood his obsession with the band, to be honest. But I'm a flannel-wearing grunge guy for life, so to each their own. Louis generally showed me everything he was doing, except for his super top-secret project that he'd been working on throughout the years I'd been working there, and even for a couple of years before I got the position in the first place. He would give me little hints and teasers now and then, but wouldn't budge on any of the actual content or information. His favorite thing to say about it was that it would change the way people viewed space as we know it. Once, I watched him for a few moments before our usual scare routine, long enough to watch him shove some book by H.P. Lovecraft into a drawer and close out a program of star charts that I had never seen before. It wasn't until 3 weeks before I was set to leave my volunteer position to go off to college that Louis posted a flyer for a small party in the planetarium to reveal his secret project once and for all. It's all our staff could talk about for an entire week leading up to it. Of course, I never told anyone what few details I'd seen. I was a loyal friend after all, and that would have been a shitty thing to do. There were a lot of wild rumors circulating, though. Dr. Rainier from the chemistry department thought it might have something to do with wormwood, while our volunteer coordinator Becky was certain that it was just some sort of weird music video for The Cure that Louis had created with lasers and star formations. While most people believed that Becky was likely right, part of me was leaning heavily to Dr. Rainier's wormwood theory. While I didn't think it would be that exactly, I knew it had to be something insane, just based on those weird star charts and the H.P. Lovecraft book Louis had hidden that day I walked in. I was an avid reader from a young age, and I'd read my fair share of old H.P.L. over the years. The phrase, "the stars are wrong," from Call of Cthulhu kept circulating through my brain for that entire week. Finally, the day came for the big reveal party. It was also a going-away party for me, so the fact that I'd finally get to see what my friend had spent years working on was extra special to me. He ushered us in one by one, shaking our hands and greeting us individually. Over the speakers, we could hear some strange instrumental song that I couldn't readily identify. Definitely not Louis's usual taste in music. As we took our seats, Louis stood front and center with a microphone in his hands. As soon as he had our attention, he began the show.
Welcome, everyone. I'd like to start by pointing out the departure of one of the greatest volunteers this museum has ever seen. Jake, you've cleaned vomit, wrapped yourself in Burmese pythons, and even burned off Dr. Rainier's eyebrows.
At that, there was a loud round of laughter, and I stood for a moment to take a small bow before Louis continued.
In all seriousness, though, Jake, you've been with us for 6 years now, and in that time, you've been a friend to many of us, and a mentor to many more. You've gone above and beyond with every opportunity given to you, and have been the front runner in many of the outreach programs the museum has held over the years. We've watched you grow from a smart-ass 12-year-old kid to a smart-ass 18-year-old man, and it's been a pleasure to see you grow. It's to you I truly dedicate this show, and hope it stays with you for years to come.
Louis paused long enough to allow a round of applause and whoops. I mouthed a thank you in his direction, and he responded with a small grin and a quick nod before moving right along.
Before we begin, I feel like a brief explanation of what you're about to see is in order. As most people know, the Big Bang Theory is the leading explanation about how the universe began. At its simplest, it says the universe as we know it started with a small singularity, then inflated over the next 13.8 billion years to the cosmos that we know today. Any astronomer can tell you that the number one question asked to them is, what happened before the Big Bang? Was everything truly born at that singularity, or is there something else behind it altogether?
There were a few eye rolls, and even some low talking amongst staff members. I ignored it for the most part, and just focused on Louis.
Previously, all we've been able to learn about the history of our world has been discovered from mathematical formulas and theoretical models. Mankind has never possessed the technology to make any true determinations on the formation. So, what is the answer to the ultimate question of life, the universe, and everything?
42!
Someone, whose voice I didn't readily recognize, shouted out from somewhere behind me. Everyone got a good chuckle out of that, even Louis. It didn't break his stride, though.
Through the use of advanced mathematics, existing theoretical models, ancient star charts, and the dimensional ley line theory, I believe I have discovered the true origins of our world.
Sensing the displeasure of some of the scientists and scholars in our staff, he rushed forward quickly.
I only ask that you keep an open mind as you see what I'm about to show you. And please save all your questions for now. If, by the end of what you're about to see, you still don't believe, then I will be happy to discuss all my discoveries with you at great length. Until then, please enjoy the show.
I heard his heavy footsteps up the little staircase to the catwalk above us. A low fog began to roll through the room. That was something surprising and exciting, since we didn't have a fog machine installed in the planetarium to my knowledge. The show began with a series of lasers set to move with the beat to, as expected, various Cure songs all stitched together. Various words in some language I couldn't place began to appear on the screen. That's when things started to get a little strange. Everyone had fallen deathly silent as the show continued. Star charts began circulating and spinning with the music. Areas of space I've never seen before began dominating the screen and pulsing with the music. I started to feel nauseous. I took my eyes off the screen to have a look around at the others, and in all honesty, that might have been what saved my life. I looked next to me at Dr. Rainier just in time to see blood leaking from the corners of his eyes, ears, and mouth. A quick glance around revealed that the same was happening with everyone else. I wiped a little blood from my own eyes, but clearly I hadn't seen enough for it to affect me as deeply as the others. The fog was thickening, and there was some smell and taste in the air I suddenly recognized. Lewis had always kept a jar of liquid LSD in his little office upstairs. He'd use an eyedropper to put it in his eye on occasion, and even made his own blotter and candy to dip it in. He had to have mixed it with the fog juice to make it airborne. I had done acid, even with him, enough times in my life to know there was a little time before it kicked in usually. Why was I already starting to feel it, though? My vision was slightly altered, and I could feel that deep body buzz creeping in. I wasn't sure what he'd done, but I needed to get out of there immediately. I stood up, hopped over to a seat into an empty row in front of me, and hauled ass to the front door of the planetarium that led to the museum. Just as I made it to the door, I could hear everyone, including Lewis in his spot atop the stairs, chanting something I couldn't understand simultaneously. I pulled as hard as I could on the door, only to find out that it had been locked from the outside. It dawned on me that there was a back exit from the planetarium from Lewis's office. He likely slipped out to lock these doors just as the show was getting started. I switched gears and ran for that little flight of stairs up into the catwalk. Just as I made it to the first step, I saw Becky start peeling her face off as she chanted, never once looking away from the screen. My stomach lurched at the sight before me, and I spilled the steaming contents of my stomach all over the floor. I slipped in it as I made my way onto the first step, dragging myself by a flimsy railing just to keep my footing. I rushed to the top, narrowly avoiding a collision with Lewis, who stood at the very top of the stairs staring down at the screen. Lewis didn't so much as look at me, standing there with pieces of his face torn off and blood pooling around him. His eyes were enormous and seemed like they were trying to vibrate themselves right out of his skull. I shoved my way past and made it to the door at the back of his office, thanking any deity that wanted to take responsibility for the door being unlocked. I sped out and into a small supply room before exiting that room and running down a flight of stairs to the museum lobby. I made it to the phone at the front desk and called 911. By the time help arrived, the chanting and screaming from the inside of the planetarium had gone silent, and I was fully tripping my balls off, hidden behind the front desk of the lobby. I lost consciousness somewhere on the way to the hospital. When I woke up several days later, I was told that no one had survived. As I suspected, an enormous dose of LSD was introduced into the air. Those that hadn't died from the sheer overdose of the LSD had died from the shock and blood loss of self-inflicted wounds. They claimed it was the sole reason for the incident that occurred, but they hadn't seen what I'd seen. Something about the stars in our night sky have seemed wrong to me ever since. I'd witnessed some strange and alluring truth that my brain had no way of coming to terms with. Those words I didn't know were still burned into my brain. And I know I will never truly rest until I have discovered what part of space those star charts were from. You have been listening to Cryopod Tapes. Today's story was The Stars Were Wrong, written by Raz T. Slasher. This episode was produced and narrated by Ted Huggins. The original music was also produced by Ted Huggins. If you enjoyed this episode, then please leave a nice review. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time on the Cryopod Tapes.